Hello. Thank you for joining us today for the Harvest Time Church weekly podcast. As you listen today, we pray that you are richly blessed and that the message would guide you deeper into your walk with Jesus and help you to advance his kingdom here on earth. Have a blessed day.
So this morning, we're going to look at a message titled Born Blind. You're like, well, that's kind of an interesting title, but Born Blind. So have you ever considered the thought of going blind? Or being born blind, you know, to me, that's one of the most scariest. I mean, it's okay to not, I guess, we all with sinus congestion maybe have lost some of our smell. If you went full-fledged COVID and you lost your smell, you know what that's like, you know, to not be able to taste, to not be able to touch, you know, all of these things, you know, it makes it really difficult to move forward if you cannot see, if your sight is gone. So of all the five senses from smell, hearing, touch, taste. For me, sight would be the hardest thing. It would be the worst. So let's really think about that just for a moment, okay? I want to not just talk about it and think about it, but I want you to experience it just for a moment. We didn't kill all the lights. We're almost there. Can we kill the stage or we can't kill that? All right, close your eyes on top of it. It didn't go over here. You're lucky because there's a little bit of light. But close your eyes as tight as you can. It's pitch black. I can't see where I am, but I know I'm still in the room. I can still hear the preacher speaking, but I can't see anything. I can feel the gentle breeze and sense the person to my left and to my right, but I can't see who they are because I can't see their face. Total blackness with the absence of light. You realize you can't even drive home. You begin to panic. You don't know what to do. You'd also have a hard time just walking to the other side of the church, even if you tried. Life as you would know it would forever be different. We can turn the lights back on. Now think about it. We can't see. We don't know where we're going. So just like being physically blind could be really, really scary, being spiritually blind should be just as concerning. Like that fear, like if you were like, dear God, I'm glad all the lights didn't go off. If you're like, I thought that through. I said, what if somebody panics? Hold on. It's just going to be just for a moment. But as scary as it is to think about losing sight, not having spiritual sight should be just as concerning. If you have no concern for spiritual sight, that should be concerning. Every one of us, really, we have to realize we are born spiritually blind and cannot see spiritually unless the eyes of our heart are enlightened or they're opened by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. It says we are born blind, we are born ignorant to the things of God. We are alive but yet dead. We have eyes but yet cannot see. So in we have to realize that in 2 Corinthians 3:14 through 16, it starts off in that verse 14 talking about how our minds are made dull towards the things of God. We don't understand. And anytime we look at the law, it says that the veil is once again placed over our eyes. But look what it says in verse 16. It says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That veil is removed. That blindness is removed. Our eyes are actually spiritually opened. Now this morning you say, Pastor Noe, I read scripture and I don't understand it. I hear what you're saying, but I don't understand it. This whole worship thing, it doesn't make sense to me. So the challenge for you this morning, are your eyes opened? You say, yeah, I'm looking at you. That's not what I'm talking about. Are your spiritual eyes open this morning? Because when we come to the knowledge of Christ, it says when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil of understanding and spiritual sight is enabled. It's released into their life. When we look at Matthew 13, 15 through 17, the New Living Translation, it says, for the hearts of those people are hardened, and their eyes and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes so their eyes cannot see and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. So you can only turn to God and see, if you hear, if you understand. But that passage is really interesting to me. It says their hearts cannot understand, but it says that they actually closed their eyes. A refusal to see, a refusal to pay. Now, you can sit through this whole service and pretend I'm not telling you anything about the gospel and go home unchanged. Or you can lean in just a little bit and say, perhaps there's something more to this message. Because even if we look in this message, you know, we're going to see that God is always wanting to connect the physical with the spiritual. Everything that he talks about in the natural, he always segues to the spiritual. But you have to see, you have to hear, you have to understand through faith. Verse 16, it says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Verse 17, I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see. So hold on just a second. Many prophets and righteous people. So perhaps are those people who thought they see, but are yet blind. They long to see what you have seen, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. We are all born blind, but today Jesus wants to open your spiritual eyes and give you clear sight. That's what it's all about. He wants you to see clearly. You know, a few years, I guess, it might have been 5 years ago now, but Becky had LASIK surgery on her eyes, and if you know what that is, they actually look at your eyes, they figure out how bad your eyes are, and they can actually go in there and make a correction and bring your sight back. Now, Becky knew she had bad eyesight. Like, most of the time you have nearsighted issues or you got farsighted issues. She had issues on both of them. You know, she was blind looking out, blind looking in, however that worked. I don't know. I've always had great eyesight, so I don't understand what bad eyesight really looks like. But we knew that her eyes were really, really bad, and they were actually able to go in there and correct them and give her 20/20 vision. She was telling me the other day, every now and then she has these fears of going to sleep with her contacts in. She had done it for a lifetime, so every now and then she's like, oh, I got LASIK. I don't have to put my glasses up. I don't have to take my contacts out. There's still that old habit, but yet when that sight is repaired, you don't have to do the things you used to do. You don't have to squint to try to read it anymore. The correction happens so that you can just see clearly. So we got to realize that God wants to do supernatural surgery on our eyes that we could see clearly. Quit squinting. You never said, but I said, can you read that board? Yeah, hold on. And you see them squint real tight. And either you can see it or you can't see it. You have to realize that vision is such a precious gift that we often take for granted. So how's your vision today? Not your physical vision, but your spiritual vision. How is your spiritual vision? Say, Pastor Noe, I'm just trying to make it. You will never make it apart from having clear spiritual vision. You can focus on habits, how to change your life. You can Google search right now, you know, how to live it up in 2022, what to change, what to do. You know, if it is not woven through spiritual, biblical concepts, you will fail every single time. Can you see physical change? Absolutely. But you won't see spiritual change. Right? I could fast and not eat anything for the next 30 days, and guess what? Pastor Noe's going to lose some weight. But if I starve myself of the things of the Spirit, I will never satisfy the things of the Spirit. And what is it that man gains all the things, all the goals of this lifetime, and yet forfeit his soul? We have to realize there are some things that are a life and death thing. There are things that matter more than anything else. But we get so caught up in the things that are physical rather than the things that are spiritual. I would rather fail a little in the physical, but succeed in the spiritual. I'd rather be moving along in what God is leading me to and faltering along the way rather than living a perfect life and never doing anything for God. You know, I believe that there's going to be those challenges. I talked about that a little bit last week, that, you know, stumbling, mumbling, bumbling, whatever you want to call it, is part of the growth process in following God. Right? We're only going to stumble if we're moving. Right? I'd rather be moving and stumbling than standing still, being conservative and being safe. And not ever taking any risk. How many of you are risk people? You like risk. How many of you are tormented by it and you're like, uh-uh. And the older we get, I think the more conservative we are. We start thinking way too much and, you know, I don't want to do that, Lord. Or are you sure? And you start thinking, what if I break a bone? What if I, What if I slip? What if I fall? I got to work. Like, you know, I guess that's the adult-driven vein versus the careless child, extravagant nature that I see from my children. You know, but God wants us not to live a reckless life, but to live a focused life. In order to hit the mark, we got to be able to see clearly. If we cannot see, we'll just be bumping. You know, we got this new Roomba. Goes around and it cleans everything. I said, I'm going to set the maid free. That's what I tell the kids. And I said, pick up all your stuff, man. We've caught shoelaces. We've caught headphones. We've caught everything that's anywhere. Dad, it's going under my bed? Yeah, you got to clean the under of the bed too, because it'll go right under that thing. So the funniest thing about this Roomba is when it is learning where it's to go. That thing knocks every inch of the wall. Well, we know that it's learning, but it cannot see. So it's sensing by touch. I tell you what, if that thing had eyes, it would never hit a wall. It'd be like, nope, let me go around the dog. Oh, somebody left a toy there, let me go around it. But it doesn't do that. It's learning blind. So it goes like this, tick, 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 tick. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, this stupid thing. It hits the wall, hits the wall, hits the wall, hits the wall, and it goes. In here, I don't know what it looked like, one of those Kerplunk machines where it goes, ticky, 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 ticky. Like, if it, I don't know, it would probably want to quit its job. But it doesn't have the option, so it just puts in the work. So as it was learning, it took a long time. But then once it mapped the room, it knew where to go and where not to go. And, you know, it would, and I say, it's going to hit the wall, but it stops right at the wall. It takes a turn and then it goes right on the perimeter because it began to learn what to do blindly. So we can learn blindly, but let me tell you what, we're going to hit a lot of walls. We're going to bump a lot of stuff. It would be better to have sight and see than to bump around blindly. Tell you what, if I can see, I can get a lot more done. If I blindfold you and say, all right, for the rest of the day, you're going to be blindfolded. Good luck, right? It's going to change everything. It's going to make it very difficult. So vision is a precious gift, and we often take it for granted. We're going to look at a passage from Mark this morning. In this passage, this is the first time in the book of Mark that Jesus healed a blind person. So we're going to back up just a bit in this passage leading up to the story, because I think he really shows the disciples something in this passage right before he shows he performs the miracle. But starting in verse 14 of Mark 8, it says, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf that they had with them in the boat. And in verse 15, he says, be careful, Jesus warned them. He said, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. So they discussed with each other and he said, it's because we have no bread. And aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? So we see this dialogue that happens of where he's making the segue of something natural. They're seeing it as natural, but he's talking about it spiritual. They're complaining about the bread, but he's talking about the spirit. You know, and I'm sure Jesus had this shaking my head moment. I mean, he was just probably like this. Like, how many times? We see this over and over and over again. But it says, do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? You know what he's saying? Are your hearts hardened? Are you even saved? That's kind of what he was saying. Are your hearts hardened? I'd have been offended, but the disciples loved him, so they just listened to what their master was saying. It says in verse 18, do you have eyes but fail to see? Do you have ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? And 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketful pieces did you pick up? They answered 7. And he said to them, do you still not understand? So Jesus always takes us to the practical and then he makes it spiritual. He gives us a chance to understand first by explaining it. But then when it doesn't work by explaining it, he actually shows us. So he gives them an opportunity to see what to show them, but now he gives them an opportunity to see. So in Mark 22, he goes on and it says, and they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Pay real close attention to this story, because we're going to use this next passage of scripture to kind of map out the rest of the message. It says, and he, this is Jesus, he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. And when he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus said, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hand on the man's eyes, and his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. So in that passage, we see that there were friends that brought him, right? And said, hey, and begged Jesus, will you please touch him? But then we see it's Jesus that took him outside the village. And the only thing that Jesus said in this whole passage is, do you see anything? And then he encouraged him. He said, in verse 26, I'm sorry, it says, and Jesus said to him, saying, don't even go into the village. That's that last part of that passage. That's all he said. He says, do you see anything? And don't go into the village. A lot of other occurrences, he says, hey, your faith has made you well. You know, rise and walk. There's this commission of what Jesus did. He was kind of really passive here. What was happening, I believe, is that he was allowing it to be based on the man's faith. It wasn't that Jesus had a lack of faith, but we see in this, oftentimes we look at this passage and say, well, maybe Jesus wasn't prayed up. He had to swing twice. Let me tell you what, Jesus never has faith issues. The recipient is the issue. Often the issue is with us. The issue is not with God. It's not with Jesus. It's not with the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to say, well, Lord, if you would, well, the finger's right back at us. Well, if you would, often seems to be that variable that needs the adjusting. So as we look at this passage, we're going to look at three ways to approach 2022. I'm going to give you one thing to ask, one thing to do, and one thing to believe for this year. That's easy for you? So when we look at this passage, the first thing I want you to ask yourself is, can you see? If that's all we covered today and you answered that question and you were sure of what that meant, it would be a win for me. Message number one, hit it out of the park. Can you see? Now, what I'm saying is, do you see anything? You know, that was his words. Do you see anything? Can you see? Can you make out any images? Are you completely blind? Are you partially blind? Or can you see clearly? Those were the three variables. So we have to see that, you know, if we can't see, we don't know what we're doing. So you can see physically, but be blind spiritually. You have to know that. Are you spiritually blind this morning? It says in Matthew 3:15, it says, you can have eyes but not see, you can have ears and not hear, and a hard heart that does not understand. Just because you have eyes don't mean you can see. Just because you have ears doesn't mean that you can hear. But we can have a hard heart that even though we are around Christian things, if we don't allow it to penetrate our heart, doesn't affect us. Have you gotten hard to the things of God? Have you gotten so comfortable with church that you just come to church, you listen to a message, you're like, oh, that was awesome, Pastor Noah, and you leave and you don't allow it to change you? If the word is not continually changing you, you are not allowing it to penetrate your heart. If you are continually being changed, that means that you are having a fertile soil heart, that you're allowing the word to go deep within and change things. Let me tell you what, if you're just trying to change yourself this next year, you will fail. But if you allow the things of God, the word of God, to penetrate your heart and actually change you from the inside out, the outward things will begin to change. Now, you know what some of your shortcomings are, and if I were to say, hey, what are your shortcomings? We don't want to answer those questions, right? What are you struggling with? What did you bring into 2022 that you're like, Lord, I sure would like to leave that in 2021? Y'all know what those are, right? I got to give you examples or you got it? You got it. He says, I got it. Don't hang the laundry out. You know what it is personally for you. What if there was a way to leave all that behind? Well, it's with a changed heart that changes our thoughts, that changes our actions, that actually changes what we do. You know, there's many times where it says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can trust it? Well, a heart yielded to God can be trusted. A heart not yielded to God should be feared. Well, I love this and I like this and I want this and what feels good, I'm going to do it. And da, da, da. It's like, good luck with that. That's why you're here, right? So we have to yield our heart to God. We can have a hard heart, but he can take that heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. So if you feel blind, do you have people at least around you who can see clearly, right? Because they had some friends come alongside them and help them and bring them to Jesus. So if you're blind, at least be in the right place. If you're blind, yeah, at least you're in church. Be blind at home, right? Somebody's brought you, you made your way here, you know. Do you have people around you who can see clearly? Surround yourself with people who will give you godly counsel, not comfort counsel. Well, just go buy it. It's all right. Your husband don't need to know. Ooh, Well, just eat that. You're going to die anyway. Come on. It's the kind of counsel we want. Well, that's what he gets. That's what she deserves. You don't need her anyway. Come on. This is called comfort counsel, not godly counsel, right? Surround yourself with people who will give you godly biblical counsel. And now you might not like it because what are they going to say? Well, the word says. Well, the Bible says. Well, Jesus did. Like, it's always going to go back to the character of what God's word says. Surround yourself. If you are blind and you don't know what to do, get around people who can see clearly, who are going to encourage you based on scripture, not just culture. That's a challenging one nowadays because culture is all over the place. Man, I've been hearing a lot of people getting flagged on Facebook and getting, like, kicked off. I don't know how you do that. I don't know if they've never listened to my messages or what. I mean, I don't know how you get fired out. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. But I hear it, oh, I'm in Facebook jail and I got kicked out. I don't know if it's, like, political parties and they're like, oh, I don't know how they're getting kicked off. I've never got kicked off for sharing the gospel. So I'm going to keep doing with all vengeance, okay? Because I want to provide clear, godly counsel to those who cannot see. Where do I go? You know, you remember, you never played the game, Marco Polo? Marco Polo. Hey, at least you know which way to draw, right? Might trip over a few chairs, but you know which way to go. So Pastor Noah is going to keep calling Marco. You say Polo, and we're going to find out how to get there if you're blind this morning. But it'd be good for you to see. Don't let the blind lead the blind. This is going to ensure trouble. You know, have you ever been on a road trip with somebody that doesn't know where they're going, it's a bad day. Somebody's got to know where they're going. And that first picture that I shared, can we go back to that very first slide? As we were talking about what to show, what to do, how can we communicate? When I saw this picture, I said, that's what I'm talking about. We got it, guys. Come on, just a little further. And you're about to fall off the stage. We got this. Where'd he go? I don't know. He was right in front of me. Well, keep on going. And we all fall off the cliff. Well, that made for a fun story, unless you were one of the blind getting led by the blind. Can't do that. Somebody has to see. Somebody has to know what's going on. Somebody needs to say, stop, whoa, or go, or see what's going on. If we allow the blind to lead the blind, it's a bad thing to do. All right? You're going to ensure trouble. If you don't know where to go or what to do, you need others to lead you. When you're blind, you can't lead yourself, but you must be led by others. And that's okay for a season, right? That's okay, but I don't think that that is God's best. God desires that you would have sight and that you might see clearly and that you might actually even be able to lead yourself. Imagine that, right? Well, I don't know what to do, Pastor Noe, unless you tell me what to do. Oh, we're going to change that this year in Jesus' name. You'll see where you're to go and you're going to start walking. Keep friends who will look out for your well-being. So this means you better trust your friends. Right? You've seen trust falls. You've seen all these things where you have to trust your friends. Comes down to it. Oh, I trust you, but I don't. Right? You know, you got to be able to trust. All right? So the first thing that we ask ourselves, can you see? Number two, position yourself around great faith. Okay? So when we look at that passage, it says that Jesus actually took him by the hand and led him out of the village. The village was the place of weak faith. He couldn't stay around people with weak faith. We see this all the time in Scripture. He said, hey, go, we're going to go to the upper room. Hey, send all of those out of the room that don't have faith. And where for great miracles to happen, you got to be in a place of great faith. So sometimes when God is moving you, he's relocating you, saying, hey, go to this quiet place. Go away from here. Don't get frustrated because he knows what he's doing. He may be positioning you to a place of great faith. So get out of the village of unbelief, and this is where miracles will take place. In Mark 6, 4 through 6, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives and in his own home. And in verse 5, look what it says. He said he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Now, it says he couldn't do any miracles there except he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. I guess that was weak faith miracles. Like, I'm like, man, that's still good for me. But it says that he was amazed at their lack of faith. So sometimes we can get too familiar with church that we don't believe in the power that comes with the church. Well, I'm just going to come and I'm going to go and I'm going to enjoy it and I'm going to leave the same. That's up to you. That's not what God wants. He wants you to leave change where you say, man, from glory to glory, from moment to moment. Every time I go to church, I leave more and more like Jesus. That don't mean I am Jesus, but it means I look more like Jesus. I'm being conformed, not into the pattern of this world, but in the pattern of the Son. My heart is changed. But we realize sometimes we're too familiar. Maybe sometimes it's based on our condition, not God's position on it. Our thought process, the way we're thinking. You know, have you heard people being content with the condition that they're in? Well, maybe it's just God's plan for me to stay sick. Well, good luck with that. Because you just agreed with the enemy rather than the creator of heaven and earth who wants you to stay sick. You know, I'd rather believe in faith and believe and claim I'm going to be made whole. And worst case, I die and go to heaven. But I'm going to side with what God's word says rather than the enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy me. So we got to understand, don't be content with just the position we're in, but move forward in what God has called us to be. All right? So stir up that radical faith. Some of you might get mad and say, well, I don't want nobody spitting in my eyes. Did you read that passage? That is crazy to me. When I read it, it says, when he had spit on the man's eyes. Who wants to try that this morning? Come here. In my eye. Like, I mean, I guess he was blind. He didn't see it coming. He didn't know Jesus was that close. How in the world did that happen? Be like, be real still. Spit in his eyes, right? So we have to realize that, you know, I did a little bit of research. I said, Lord, there has to be more than that. What does that mean? So in culture and at this time, they believed that the spit of a holy man was also holy. That every part of his being was holy. So it's not known whether Jesus actually spit in his eyes. Now in John 9:6, we know that he actually spit in the mud. He made clay and then he put it over his eyes. But that's a different passage. So we don't know, did he do that? Did he not do that? Now, if we just base it on what this passage says, he spit in his eyes. Okay? It says, either way, although perhaps offensive today, it was completely acceptable in Bible times. So you're like, come on. Which holy man wants to spit in my eyes first? Like, ah. But we have to realize that we have to get in a position maybe of something that we might feel like it's offensive for God to work in our life. Let Jesus do what he wants to do. There were so many people in the Bible that if they would have said, I'm not doing that, or you're not spitting in my eyes, give me 50 feet, and just backed up from it, like, I mean, would have missed it. Well, I'm not going to do that. That's too hard. That's too difficult. That's above me. I'm not going to do that. Then we're going to miss it. We got to let Jesus do what he wants to do. In Mark 7:33, it says that the person couldn't hear or speak. In verse 33, kind of the same thing. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. So he wet-willied him, right here. Like, you know, but then it says that, and he spit and touched the man's tongue. So I don't know if he went, and swap. I'm just getting this. What did he do? Like stick your tongue out or just kind of like swiped it? Like what happened? But really, what was this for? Ultimately, it was to lead to comfort. They knew he was there. He was physically there, but he touched what needed to be touched. You realize that? Jesus will always touch what needs to be touched. He's going to touch your eyes. He's going to touch his tongue. He was going to touch his ears. That's where the issue was, and that's what God touches. So today, if you were adamant and say, Lord, you can do anything you want, but you can't touch that, you will leave this place not being changed. You have to allow Jesus to touch what he wants to touch. So we see that when Jesus touches you, everything changes. The issue is not with the man not being healed the first time. It was not a failure on Jesus' part. It was a faith gap on the individual. Make sure you see that. So the man's faith, realize this, began to grow as he moved from seeing nothing to seeing something that looked like trees walking. Can you imagine that moment of that transition when you see nothing, but now you see something that looks like trees walking? And the excitement, hey, I tell you, if I didn't have faith, I got faith at that moment now. I'm like, all right, Jesus, come on. I couldn't see nothing. Now I see something like some trees swaying, but it's still not real clear. And then he touches him again and he sees perfectly clear. The ultimate thing happens, complete restored sight. So number one, you have to ask yourself, can you see? Number two, you have to do something. You have to position yourself around great faith. And number three, you got to trust God for clarity. You got to trust God to bring the clarity. Remember that receiving the individual sight, it was not a Jesus problem. It was a personal faith problem. So don't say, Lord, if you're willing or if you're able. No, he is willing and he is able. But you got to say, Lord, help my faith grow. Let me trust you to see. I want to trust you in doing the work. God brings the clarity, but we have to keep the faith. Proverbs 29:18 in the ESV, it says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, which means they perish, but blessed is he who keeps the law. I looked a little bit more into that word perish. That means to let free, make someone go out of control, allow to run wild, leave unattended. So we talk about vision and direction for the church. Like if I don't have vision and I don't give you vision and I don't give you direction, this is what Pastor Noe does. I just let you be free. Let someone or everyone go out of control. I allow you to run wild. And I'm going to just leave you unattended. You ever done that with kids? Do it long enough. That's a bad idea. If it's quiet, where are your kids? That's how I do in my home. I was like, man, where's the kids? They've been quiet for a long time. Right? In church here, we keep a lot of doors locked. If you ever wonder, why you got all the doors locked? We keep control on kids. If I keep everything open, they can go anywhere. But I know that they're restricted to certain spots. But, you know, if we leave people unattended, they will totally destroy everything. When the prophet went to the mountaintop, people got frustrated that they didn't have vision and they didn't have direction. Said, well, let's build an altar for ourselves. Man, if I go on a sabbatical for a month and y'all got an altar built, shame on you when I come back. I'm going to kick it over and, man, we're going to put some whoopings on somebody. But that's what they did. They were left to themselves and they completely went out of control. The person they left in charge even kind of yielded to what the people want. I mean, like, I'm going to crack that leadership before I get y'all. So y'all got a few, okay? Like, that's what I'm saying. But that's what happened, right? They were left to their own. They were left unattended. And, you know, I don't know if they didn't know that, hey, I'm going to the mountaintop to seek the Lord on your behalf. Maybe he should have been clearer on that and they would have been okay and they would have kind of gritted their teeth a little bit more. What I want to tell you with that, don't just depend on Pastor Noe's eyes to be opened and to have the vision and the direction of the church, but ask God to open your eyes also that you would see what your role is. It's not to act a fool when I'm not around or your leader's not around or someone's watching. Guess what? God is always watching. Thank God that God didn't strike them dead. You know, like, I mean, like, it's just kind of like, man, do we not have any fear of God? I mean, if you're scared of me, you should really be scared of God, right? But if we're scared of God, we will submit to the authority that he's put in place of our lives and undergird that and stay in the safety of that, right? So we have to realize that clarity sometimes takes time. Like I said, I've been praying since October, and God finally gave me clarity of direction for the church, and I'm so excited about it. You know, he's been faithful with that every year, but it's been a having to press in every year. You know, my wife has been challenging me. She says, what's our 10-year plan? I said, baby, I'm praying. I'm working on that. I'm trying to get a 5-year plan, much less a 10-year plan. But I know God is really needing us to have a 10-year plan because we got to know generally the direction we're going. So know this. We have to ask one thing. Can you see? We have to do another thing by positioning yourself around great faith. And number three, we got to believe God for the clarity. Even when we don't have clarity, knowing that God still can do what he can do. Today you may say, I'm spiritually blind. God can open your eyes. Maybe you see as trees walking, God can still bring clarity to your eyes. But if you see clear today and you don't walk forth in that clarity, shame on you. Because God has given you the vision, he's given you the direction, and we move forward in that. So we're all initially born blind to spiritual things. But faith in Jesus changes all of that. It removes the veil, like we shared in that passage earlier. Today, you may need glasses, but don't realize it. You ever seen that where somebody's like, man, I can't see, and turning on a light and having to get real close, or the magnifying glasses, different things like that. You know, if you can't see, you might need glasses. If you can't see, you may need a touch from God. Okay? So just don't keep trying to fake it. If you can't see, you can't see. Only you know that. It's the hardest thing, even with your children, trying to evaluate how they can see. Can you see? Can you not see? But I tell you what, when you have clear vision, it allows you to hit the mark. Let me give you a quick story real quick. When I was at work, we used to qualify at the range, and we'd have to shoot from a tower. We're shooting from 150 yards away, but it's a reduced target, so it simulates shooting at 300 yards. Well, right before qualification, something happened with my right eye where I went to the doctor, and they said, it's just fluid on your eye, and it looked like if you go underwater and open your eyes and it's blurry, that's kind of what it looked like, but it was just on my right eye. It wasn't on my left eye. And I had to qualify, and I told them guys, hey, let's talk about this. I'm having issues with my right eye. Well, if I don't qualify, I don't know what happens. Badge on hold, all kinds of crazy or whatever. So say, we're going to work it out. I said, I'm not asking you to floop numbers. I got to qualify. So I started thinking, man, maybe I'll shoot left-handed. Maybe I'll whatever. But I looked, but I could see what looked like a tree walking. I could see a little bit. And I said, well, send the first thing. We'll see what's up. First target went up. Pow, I shot. It dropped. He said, you hit it. I said, okay, I'll keep aiming for the blur. Now, I didn't tell nobody because, a blur ain't going to cut it. Is it a good guy or a bad guy? I don't know. I could see the blur. Just shot a friendly. I don't work there anymore, so I can tell you the story now. But it was hard. I could not hit the mark clearly because I could not see. But when you have good, perfect vision, you know what bad vision is. But if you've never seen clearly, you don't know what clear vision looks like. Becky got that revelation when she got LASIK on her eyes. All it takes is God touching your eyes and clarity will come. But you got to know, are you blind? Today, if you are blind, I will lead you to the Master and he will touch your eyes. But you got to say, hey, I need to get there. I don't know how to get there. This is how you get here. This morning, if you say, Pastor Noe, I don't have vision. I don't know what I'm doing. I need you to get up out of your seat and I need you to come to this front row for me right now. That is your altar call. If you say, I cannot see clearly. If you see somebody stumbling real bad because they can't see in the physical either, help them get up here. But if you say, Pastor Noe, I can't see. I need to see. I want to see more clearly. This is how we see clearly. This is my prayer really for each of you this year, and it's found in Ephesians 1:18. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what the hope is of his calling, of his wealth and his glorious inheritance in the saints, and who is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength. That his strength would work in us, and it wouldn't just be my work. So this year, what do we ask God to do? Glad you asked. First, we ask him, open my eyes. Lord, that you would open my eyes, that you'd open your eyes, that you would grow your faith, and that God would move you forward. Now, as I saw that, I was thinking about that. Open my eyes, Lord, that you would grow my faith, and Father, that you would move me forward. I just laughed because that has to do with knowing, growing, and going. I can't go if I can't see, and I don't know where I'm going. If my eyes are not open, if I don't know God, then the other two don't really matter. But I can grow, and then once I see, Lord, help me move forward in that. This last year, what were the three things that we focused on? What was it? People, purpose, presence. That was 2021. Moving into 2022. Y'all ready? Da, da, da. Hit that next slide. Go to get the one. That's what it's going to be all about. Going and getting the one. What do you mean go get the one? Me go get the one? Yeah, you go get the one. That each of us collectively will go reach one. They say, you prayed since October to get that? No, that's just the idea. That's the first part. But then God gave me the clarity. This is the clarity that came, that we focus on our family, we focus on our community, and we focus on the world. And I said, okay, God, that's fine. We can focus on family, we can focus on our community, and we can impact the world. But how do we do that? So we focus on our family personally. That's your problem. That's your issue. That's your avenue to affect your family. So you have to deal with your family personally. How do we affect our community? Practically. And then how do we reach the world? Sacrificially. So practically, and then sacrificially, and then personally. I got those all jacked up. Sorry. It'll clarify. We reach our family personally, reach our community practically, and we reach our world sacrificially. That's going to be all, that's where we're going to camp this whole rest of the year. So what's the point? We go get the one. I reach my family. I reach my community. And we see the world impacted. Can you guys stand up with me? That's where we're going. Say, I don't want none of that. Guess there's the door. I don't know what to tell you. That's what I feel is in the heart of God this next year. So let me tell you what, in the life of Harvest Time Church, up to this point, we've experienced addition. We've added numbers. We've added people. Our numbers are up. We're evaluating parking lot expansions. We're evaluating two services. We're saying, Lord, what in the world do we do? Well, let me tell you what happens if we all begin to get one. It's no longer addition. It turns into multiplication. Now, it ain't just to have the biggest church, but the goal is to reach as many people as possible before Jesus comes back. So if the church has to grow, okay, well, how are we going to do it? I don't know, but we're going to do it. What if there's so many people, I don't know everybody? That's great. Meet new people. Well, I don't want to come to the later service. Well, come to the earlier service. I don't mean, we have to collectively see, why is it important? Why does it matter? The agenda is to reach as many people as possible. It's bigger than just me or what I want or my small church mentality. If you like the small church thing, man, you're not going to like the kingdom of God, because there's going to be tons, hundreds of thousands of people left and right that you don't know, all glorifying God together. It's not that you know everybody, but that all of us know the somebody. That's what it's all about. It has nothing to do. And now, you want extra relationship? You want more time? Do it outside the four walls of the church. That's what going and getting the one focuses on anyway. Not what are we doing inside the four walls. What are we doing outside the four walls? That's what it's all about. Go get the one. Man, let me give you the beauty of this whole vision. We can't go get the one until we realize we were the one. And I'm going to go get one because somebody came and got me. I'm excited about it, man. Trying to throttle back so I don't unravel everything. You're like, you didn't even need to preach. You should have preached it the first week. But these next 3 weeks, journey with us. As I really feel like God is going to just download his heart for this next season of Harvest Time Church. I hope you're excited about it. You might be a little nervous about it, but listen, God's got our back. If he asks us to get out of the boat and walk on the water, it's because he's going to give us the ability to walk on the water. It's not for me to determine the variables. It's me to be obedient to what he's asked us to do. Man, let me pray and get out of here. I'm messing up my time. I'm moving on to another sermon. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. And Father, I pray that today that there would be clear vision in the house from the top to the bottom. Lord, that our eyes would be open to the things that are in your spirit, the things that you're showing us. Father, I pray that you would release dreams and passions and desires that come from the heart of God. Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you're doing. Give us eyes to see. This year, Lord, open our eyes. Grow our faith. And Lord, move us forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Harvest Time Church podcast. We hope you've been encouraged and empowered. If you'd like more information about our family, please write us at 42 FM 2540 South, Bay City, Texas, 77414. Or check us out on the web at harvesttimebaycity.com.